Are we ready? Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. It is 2 p.m. We're gathered in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for a legal counsel update. President are Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. So first off, we'll get it started with item number one, resolution number 2018-048. In a matter of referring to Josephine County voters at the November 6, 2018 election and advisory question on marijuana taxation.
I believe we have provided a copy of the resolution and the documents, and I believe it is due to be filed with the clerk on Friday. And I think it needs to go to weekly business session tomorrow.
Okay. Have you had a chance to review that?
Yeah, it looks good.
It hasn't changed since last week, correct?
I don't think it has.
Well, I made
the edits we made last week.
Yeah, well, I made the changes.
So I had an opportunity to talk to the Coos County Commissioners, and they did support the idea that was going on their ballot. Klamath County seems like they would be low-hanging fruit to be able to put
Klamath,
something on there.
Klamath has shown some real interest.
Yeah, it's a real problem for them, too.
Yeah. The only thing is that they, when we originally started this, there was five counties that met the requirement, 40% of your general fund coming from SRS, and Klamath was not one of those counties that was in that group.
Yeah, right.
However, I think that was the beginning, you know, the kind of a beginning to see, you know, what we would like to do.
Yeah.
I think from this, when we actually go, and I've had conversation today with Jeff Rhodes and whatnot up north, and I think when we get closer to it, I want to talk with Klamath County to see if they would like to be involved in this. So, did you talk to somebody from Klamath up at AOC this last?
I talked to him today.
Okay.
Boyd, and he just was talking about how it's a real enforcement problem. People are just doing it, even though it's,
right.
You know, they're not even included at all because it's not legal. I don't know if medical is, but recreational certainly is not.
Right.
So it's just a real problem for them, so I thought they'd be really an ally so in this effort.
We're going to Klamath on Friday. I might be able to set some time aside for Donnie, because he and I've talked about we need to get together and be
give him a heads up. He's driving back to Klamath today from the Coos County Forestry Tour. So.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, that'd be great.
I'll reach out to Donnie and see if there's something we can put together over there. See what his thoughts are anyway.
Sure.
But going back to this, did you see anything that you wanted to change on that? Commissioner Morgan, did you?
No.
I think it looks pretty good.
And
So that one, you got that one?
For tomorrow.
Yep, for tomorrow. I think that'd be great.
Okay.
Item two is resolution number 2018-049. In matter referring to Josephine County voters at the November 6, 2018 election, an advisory question on road access.
So I wrote a couple different versions. Wally and I talked yesterday quite a bit about it. I just don't know that there's anything there. Every question that I come up with is like, yeah, so what are you going to do with that? I don't know. I don't know what, I don't really have that thing that is round hole, round peg, that you ask this question and they get some sort of a response that we can actually do something with. So.
Can we, how do I say this? I was talking to some people about this particular advisory question. They said, why don't you just make it that forests are first? Which means that access to forest land and when it comes to fighting forest fires, the health of the forest becomes one of the primary things, that forests are first. And the
because right now it's people and structures.
Right. But at some point in time, the forest needs to be come into that rather than some wood gnat that belongs in the Port Orford cedar and we're going to stop all things. I just get real frustrated that years ago we never had to ask permission to put out a fire and now we do. Mm-hmm. There's so many people in charge of this so-called fire until it's clear out of control and they go, well, gee, we don't want to happen there. For instance, on the Taylor fire, there's a deal on YouTube, on Facebook, but the guy says, there's where it started.
It was Garner, yeah.
And I offered to go put it out, and they said, no, that's okay. But there shouldn't have been a...
They didn't know the certification levels, and it was at night, and so they didn't know what, yeah. I talked to Dean Larson about it.
Walk that cat up there and put it out.
Yep.
Walk the cat up there and put it out.
It comes down to the logging companies have to be certified to be used by ODF.
There's tons to talk about. There really isn't. I don't have a question to ask them to use it at the congressional level or to the agency level right now that is going to have...
So keeping a roadway system maintained throughout the forest, wilderness, and monument areas for the sake of creating fire lines and access to fight forest fires.
20 words, 10 and 20, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The question that I came up with is along those lines, exactly that. Should public land managers reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfire? You talk about all those things in the 500 words that you have. You have to have a succinct kind of overarching.
Okay, so start out, we said,
through road maintenance.
By maintaining access via
and
public
then, so
road.
So the 20-word section is, should federal agencies administering public lands in Josephine County do everything possible to reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfire? And then you have to go into minimizing fuels, keeping roads open.
And you do that in your, that's a perfectly good question.
So one of the things that Elizabeth from BLM reported on today with the meeting with the senator was they had done some fuels reduction in some areas that on the Sugar Pine fire, when it got to those hazard removal areas, there was less fire damage. So it made me wonder what their reduction process was that she was referencing. Senator Merkley was familiar with it.
The thing is we know that fuels reduction is it helps. They do it on 120 acres, and they are administering in Josephine County. They're in charge of 289,000 acres.
Wow.
So it's like, who cares? You did it on 1,200 acres, or 120. It means nothing for a 200,000 acre fire. This one will be 200,000 before.
Time to get that horse around.
Sure. Maybe three.
Close to it.
So that's they're not doing. And then they say they don't have the resources. You walk over to the interagency, I don't know if you've ever been over there, but people are falling over each other.
Yes.
You know, there's 300 employees over there. None of them are actually doing the work on the ground. They contract with Mike Wheelock's Grayback Forestry to do the work. Nobody over there does that stuff. They oversee it, but they don't actually do the stuff on the ground. So, fuels production project that Ashland did, you know what that costs? $7 million on like 100 and something acres.
Well, I think we're dancing around the question, should be access to forest to put out wildland fire. And I think we still need to have something on there because this is the time to remember that. A year from now, 2 years from now is not the time to bring it up. I think it's right now while this is a month now. This is just over a month of having smoke in this valley, and all, I guess, 40 to 60% of tourism, I have no number there, to no documentation on that, but I would say that everything's down 40 to 60%.
At least you can just feel it.
I'm going to use it as the car show for an example. They usually have to turn people away, and they didn't this year. The motels up there, Redwood Motel, is always full with a club out of the Bay Area. None of them showed up this year because of the smoke. End of conversation.
And even if it's nice next year, they probably still won't because they
can't
count on it.
I can't go there and anyway, but I think we really should put something on there. So we got to do it by what, tomorrow?
Or Thursday.
Friday it has to be to the...
Just keeps getting better. What do you think, Augustus?
But wait,
it has to be done by Friday.
I know.
Yeah. Is this just about opening up the roads that the Forest Service has been closing?
Our ultimate goal is to change policy to where there is, a will, a political will, to do more than they're doing right now
okay.
to mitigate the risk of catastrophic wildfire. I like the idea of like providing cover for somebody. So when Merv George assigns dozers to a wilderness area, and he's getting a lot of political heat, probably not from people whose homes were in the path.
No.
You know, it's from people who are outside who, they don't have to breathe the smoke. They don't have to deal with the fire burning down their house. And then they'd say, no, don't put a dozer on the edge of a wilderness area. So something like that is actually effective. It's helping George and his successor, because he won't be there forever. I mean, Merv.
But
asking, his last name.
Go ahead. Say something.
No, I just said it was his last name.
I always
want to
call him George because it seems more like
a name. Yeah. Well, so start with one question. I mean, we had talked about roads. The title says roads still. From what I've seen on these two fires, every bit of where they're creating their fire lines has to do with existing roads.
Yeah, they tried to hold it on the Taylor where I did the tour, and they actually built like a whole new road infrastructure down Pickett Creek by 150, 200 yards down from the road because they lost it at the road. Hall saw this. You know, that was our last picture of this, you know, probably 5 miles of dozer line that's just basically cutting in the beginnings of a new road because they couldn't hold it at the existing one.
Yeah.
So it's not always guaranteed, but that's the best place to start.
And they did that because there were homes in the way.
Yes.
On the other side where there's no homes, they're doing nothing to build roads.
I think we're asking the people, do we do something about it? And you said, well, it's got to stand the test of time and congressional this and that. I don't think it does. It's just an advisory. It's non-binding. It has no binding effect.
No, it means it's got to be useful.
But to me, all right, I know we have to reduce fuels.
The results.
We have to do forest management.
That's what I want.
But what I saw this year was the roads, where they're picking these Type 1 incident teams, where they came out from Taylor and they're following Bear Camp here. They're going to take it to Agnes and straight down towards the coast.
Sure.
And that's their line, 12 miles from this spot, because it's the next road.
Because they can't get a road into that little
They say there's no roads between here and there. So their
that's
only road is Bear Camp Road as it cuts back to Brookings. And it's 12 miles from here, so that's their next road using.
Right.
And all in here, where they said they couldn't do stuff, they created a dozer line here. They tried to do some backburn here. Well, we don't have roads anymore, so we can't do
anything. Don't have roads anymore. What I want to get back is an adequate road system. I think that's the question you asked, the results of the question. So the question needs to be very, very easy to understand. Are you in favor of building a road system back in our forest for the sake of getting fire equipment to and from catastrophic wildfires to reduce the effect of a wildfire, so the wildfire doesn't become catastrophic or something? But I think it's the fact that they decommissioned all the roads. We keep saying that. We can't get to the fire because the Forest Service decommissioned all the roads, ripped them up, didn't just leave them and put a berm in front of it. You could plow that out. They ripped them up with the rippers and pulled all the culverts out. So now you're going right back in and starting like you had to start to build the road into the logging sale in the first place. If they'd have left it alone, we could still be cruising that all summer long if we had the money for firefighting crews of college kids like we used to.
Right.
But we don't have that. So that's the question I want. Do you think we should go back maybe to the old way, the old road system, recommission the old road system in order to reduce the chance of catastrophic wildfires in our forest land? Doesn't matter whether it's Oregon Forest, County Forest, or U.S. Forest. Just asking the people what they think. And what if it comes back as, you know, everybody I've talked about says, hey, where do I sign? So we get back 80-20, 90-10. And when the U.S. Forest, well, no, you know, everybody, why all the people we listen to? Well, the people you listen to obviously wanted to rip the road up. And when you rip the road up, this is a result of you ripping, could be a result of you ripping that road up 35 years ago. That's the question I want to ask.
Morgan, you're there.
I think it's too important and timely to not follow through.
Yes. We're on our fourth year of smoke. It's in everybody's mind.
Well,
they're
we did
all
ask other questions.
Beg pardon?
We have asked other questions around this.
Sure,
so
we have. And we need to keep asking the question to get the public's input back. They aren't happy with this. there isn't much that three county commissioners can do other than poll their constituents and pass that along up the ladder. When Commissioner Morgan goes to the briefings and stuff, she needs to be armed with something.
Yeah, okay.
It's really simple. Can we do that?
Oh, I was just gonna say, as far as fuels reduction, that could be a separate question.
I'll put something together, and it'll be based on those idea of the roads.
Okay, so we got that. Okay, you got that, Leah?
Okay.
Thank you. Item number three, well, any more questions on that? Any more, okay, comments? All right. Item number three is resolution number.
Not my first time, but.
No, but I'm confident.
Okay, item number three, resolution number 2018-050, in the matter referring to Josephine County voter at the November 6, 2018 election advisory question on separation from Oregon. So what do you think? Team, the A team?
My opinion hasn't changed.
I'm leaning towards your opinion that it's neither the time or place. The only reason why I pushed for it is that we said we would offer to do that. I said, not we, but it's not the timing, it's not appropriate with everything else that we're dealing with. I'm agreeing.
I'll say that again? You don't?
I just don't, sorry, I know I covered your ears. That the timing doesn't seem appropriate with everything else we're facing.
In other words, we're asking a state to come down and help us out when we're getting ready to secede?
Well, we've been asked to pass a resolution without any opportunity for feedback from the public on what they think of that resolution. So I still think at some point it's appropriate to ask the question whether or not I think it's the right time to be expending any energy towards it. No, we have bigger fish to fry right now.
You know what I would almost want to do is the people who are passionate about the state of Jefferson, people who are passionate about IP 43 and 44, they went out and got signatures on their own. And you can start that initiative on your own. Why are we superseding what their question is? It would be, and I've never been in favor of petitions. This one is, if you want something on, you want a resolution, you want something from the voters, why don't you guys go out and do shoe leather and
if out there
question.
It's that strong,
yeah.
You should have no trouble getting your...
Nope, 5,000 signatures. It doesn't take that many to do probably a
on. And it appears, not trying to read in the future, but it appears that we're going to have a May election.
Sure.
Okay. So maybe that would be the more appropriate time. Commissioner Morgan, does that make sense to you?
Well, my suggestion was a different trajectory. You leave it up to them. They do it whenever they want to. Maybe they don't want it on a May ballot. Maybe they want it on a November one, so there's a bigger turnout.
Okay.
Support the idea of the citizens asking themselves. It isn't a governing body question necessarily. It's
okay.
Really, you know, it's somewhat revolutionary style. Revolutionaries are done by them, not by the government.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. So strike three then?
Or hold off?
Just hold off on three?
To the
and
people? That sort of deal.
Okay.
It's the wrong
place to go
for something like
that. Commissioner
Morgan, that
suit you?
Yes. Okay.
Item number four is, you got that, Leah?
Yes.
Item number four, real estate purchase and sale agreement, order number 2018-060, in a matter of authorization of execution of rental agreement with David Blair McIntyre and Ann Lynn McIntyre for lease of county property located at 980 West Park Street and rental agreement.
With that document signed, and they're ready to go to next Wednesday's meeting. If that sounds okay with you all, I'd like to on next Wednesday's meeting.
I think that's
sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll just move that forward to the.
Thank you for your follow through on this, and you too, Commissioner.
Yeah, it really is a very timely transaction. I think that was done really well. Good job.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll move that forward to the WBS. Five, additional subjects and matters from commissioners.
Not for legal.
Yeah, my stuff, I can wait till talking about it on Thursday. That's probably the best.
So I did hear just, Wendy, you said there's been official request from Peggy to have all three of us there at the start of the fair tomorrow at noon. So make sure that can get on our calendars if you want to be there.
That sounds good. Okay. Seeing nothing further, and item number five, we're moving along. Today is Tuesday, August 14th, 2018, at 2:20 p.m. The Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. 6A is confidential memo regarding county real properties under land sales contract ORS 192.6602E, and item 6B is a lease agreement for county real property located at 1222 Redwood Avenue, ORS 192.6602E. And approved representatives of the news, media, and designated staff should be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the sessions as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we'll return to open session. Welcome the audience back into the room. Quarter will now be turned off at 2:21 p.m. Okay, now are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, we are back in session at 2:47 p.m. and we'll move on to item number seven.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a recommendation that we move item 6A to the quickest available weekly business session.
Okay.
And item 6B, that we do the same thing with moving that lease agreement forward.
Okay. Second?
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
If I could clarify, the 6A was the memo on the land sales contracts. My understanding was that the direction was for our office to work with planning.
I'm getting confused with the Blair McIntyre item before.
Yeah. Okay.
That planning just issue a letter to that effect.
Okay.
Yes.
So corrected.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And we'll update sales contracts, land sale agreements, to reflect, I need to be compliant with county code.
County code.
Yes.
Thank you, Leah.
So that's all set to go. Any additional subject matters from commissioners?
I don't have anything that shouldn't wait till Thursday.
Commissioner Morgan?
No. I'll be at the fair a lot of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Senator Merkley's visit today, appreciated him coming to our EOC and JIC and Merlin and getting that feedback. So I brought up the roads. I brought up how we're trying to save our wilderness, and yet we're not doing that with these yearly fires. And spoke on kind of county impact and stuff like that. So it was a positive interaction. And I have to say, for the most part, that the work with the other agencies, being at least in the room talking with us, it feels much greater this year than it has been in past years, and I appreciate that.
Good. That's good to hear. My schedule, I was hoping to be at the fair a little bit more, but I'm getting booked up, so stuff has to keep going.
I'm going to be at the fair Wednesday for the kickoff, and then I'm going to go to Lone Star, and then I've got Thursday afternoon and Saturday afternoon in the parking detail, so
great.
I'll be out there for those days.
Well, we're kind of done with legal. I could give a little update. I did the Coos County Forestry Tour today. It was really good. We are one of the hardest forests in the state, if not the nation, to manage relative to others. Their forest is made up of two rather large blocks, one 5,000, one 10,000 acre block, and they don't have near the challenges. However, they do have the marble mural that is part of their.
And aren't they on sudden oak death syndrome also?
Not yet. It's still in Curry. But it would more likely go up the coast than it would go over the Cascades. They don't really create marble murrelet habitat, so that shouldn't be too much of a problem for them in the future. I have a conference call tomorrow on our person that we retained to do that work for us.
Okay.
So we'll be giving you an update on how that goes. The AOC and a board meeting was good, really challenging. I still feel like the association's struggling tremendously, needs to start over from scratch with structure. The comment that I was kind of circulating with the committees, and Commissioner Morgan, you're really familiar with this, everybody who shows up to a meeting is on a committee. In my opinion, if everybody's on a committee, nobody's on a committee.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everybody's on the board. The board meeting had 37 people in the room.
That's, and I'm officially not on the board, so I didn't go.
I don't know who is and who isn't. I know I am, but...
Well, I mean, there's a list of who the board members are.
And don't you get to vote? If you're at a board member, you just happen to be in the neighborhood and you're at a board member,
at a committee,
don't you get to vote?
Not the board.
So more people could attend the board meeting, but not everybody there was voting members.
Right. My point is that when a third of the membership is there, nobody's on the board. There's no real direction. It's the executive committee. And frankly, we've had some problems for 5 years. And we've been told one story after the other, and I still don't feel like there's a clear vision in the entire meeting. And I had to leave early for my meeting with Matthew Garrett at ODOT. That went really well, by the way. I don't know that it could have gone better. He was very jazzed about the idea and calling his regional people to give a heads up that this is coming. Commissioner Hare is going to convene this meeting about this regionalization, and let's try to lean into it as, you know, say yes until we have to say no.
Yep.
I thought that was really encouraging. My problem is that there's no strategic plan for the Association of Oregon Counties, and nobody mentioned that. And so I started writing one as I'm driving home about what it means to be an association. And looking at that room, there's a lot of well-intentioned people, but nobody's been a lobbyist. They've never worked with an association that represents, you know, what are those best practices that we should be employing. So from my perspective, it seemed like kind of a shortcoming. The program is only a $4 million program, and our executive director really didn't know the budget for the last 4 or 5 years. Or if he did know it, he did it, you know, intentionally, which I don't believe. So, I mean, $4 million is smaller than our public works budget. It's right there. It's embarrassing that, you know, I could almost have that memorized and we don't have the oversight. And I don't know that we're all that aggressive about getting there. I want to be part of the solution, but I have real reservations that this doesn't just happen again. I don't think we took this as the wake-up call that the association really needs to, so.
I don't know if this is the time to bring it up, but we have dues that are due to AOC.
It's coming back Thursday, right?
Is it?
Anytime you want, yes.
The kicker is they're looking to assign $1 million of liability. They're in the hole of $967,000. So understand, if you have an appetite to pay these dues, you're also going to be petitioned to fund either a 10-year or a one-time, this is your county's share of the Delta. Now, all of those, that money, that was paid into operations. I don't fault that at all. It's just that there was no conscious decision on the part of the board to really make that decision. And I don't want to play a name game. I don't want to necessarily try to hold somebody accountable. What I am looking for is, there's only 3 counties that haven't paid, not including Jackson County, who is not a member right now. What assurances am I buying here by signing up for another year's of dues? I have no problem being that one county that just says, until I see these 3 things, I don't need to sign up for this. I'm going to hold off until... that happens 100 times when I'm in a meeting, everybody going along, and it's like, what are we doing here, people? There's nothing different to today.
If I throw my half a dozen cents in, I'm going to get real selfish because I planned I really need the Association of Oregon Counties in the upcoming year. And
right.
if we pay our dues and we remain in there for another year and we get, for instance, I'm getting some real traction on the Southern Oregon Marijuana Initiative or whatever we're going to call that going into 2019. And I want AOC to be on our side. I want Rob Bobet to be on our side. I want because we're gonna need that organization.
My worry is, I totally hear that. We're down 5 positions right now and we don't have the money to fund them. The delta that I'm talking about includes not having those people being paid. If Rob is in charge of handling not just this issue for us, but every other issue that every other county is gonna want in this long session coming up, there's no bandwidth for Rob to work on this. That's my concern.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem paying the dues. I'm looking for that thing that says, if there's something else, you guys, we've got to do better.
Can we pay it with concerns? You say, we're gonna pay this, but there needs to be some changes, man.
I had to leave early from the board meeting and I feel badly about that because I think there were a fair number of people who texted me afterwards that we were all waiting for you to say something.
Yeah, and your
opportunity
to say things is running out.
Yeah.
We're in August.
And
there's not gonna be many more board meetings.
No.
So I know you the Matthew Garrett thing is equally important, if not more important,
really,
on local.
Really that I needed to be there in person, and it only took 20 minutes, but you have to get that from the guy at the top. So I think I'm gonna have to put together a memo to the board and explain, here are the things that I think you need to do. We're gonna like to pay our dues. You guys are in support. I'm in support.
You have a perspective because of your past working as a lobbyist and working for a United States Senator's office where lobbying happens.
Right.
You have a perspective not everybody has, and that's something that I think we need to hear. And as a whole association, we need to hear it because it is a lobbying organization.
That's its premise.
Mm-hmm.
It's advocacy.
That's what it's for.
We fight so hard to get in the door.
And then you have no message.
I support us paying this year's dues. I think we've benefited from being a part of AOC this year, and we're 8 months out from when the dues were due. So it's not that we're signing up for another year's dues until next January.
And they do want them doing, I mean, there's such simple things. Like they're gonna be broke. They have no money to pay January salaries. It's just, really? Who structures this thing?
And I haven't gone through all the Moss Adams recommendations. I know we received it.
They're
I know
good.
They adopted
good.
The Moss Adams recommendations,
they're
and they appointed
good.
Mike Eliason as the executive director for the next year.
Yeah.
So they're not hiring an additional person. They're using staff they currently have. But I do want to go over those Moss Adams recommendations to see more thoroughly what those are.
Yeah.
Because we do have to keep evaluating this as we go. But as far as the current dues,
yeah,
we went through.
We're actually going to be paying for what?
It's the 2018 calendar year.
Bobette, yeah. But I mean, it's for what Bobette put a lot of effort into.
He really
into
did.
That last year, and he's willing to do that again.
He thinks there's merit there.
Yeah.
I do.
It's going to be challenging.
It is.
Doggone near impossible.
Yeah, I had a long conversation today.
The fundamental
today.
Deal, Dan, Commissioner Dion, I'll just tell you. If we don't get Carl on, there's nobody. It's the same thing as federal forest management relative to catastrophic wildfires. Nobody cares if Senator Merkley and Wyden are just like, we don't even want a hearing on this stuff when I'm the natural resources chair. This is Wyden 2 years ago when he was
mm-hmm.
he was the chair. Didn't even have a hearing on 3 pieces of pending federal forest management that came out of the House and been sitting in the Senate for probably 6 months. Couldn't even get it together to do it. So I'm working with
3 representatives right now, and I just got off the phone with Jeff Roach today. I had a very long conversation with him about the situation. He was trying to explain to me the merits of the $3 million that they got, and boy, this is going to be helpful. And did you turn in your thing? I said, yes, we put in a grant application for that. But what the grant application about Wild Ed's going to give you this and this, and I said, I'm okay for what it's going to do, and we will accept whatever we can get out of that grant, but it's not enough. And I says, what we want to do is ratchet back to the marijuana initiative, because then we don't have to ask the state for anything. We want to create it ourselves. And what you're doing, we've got thousands of illegal grows down here with nobody tending the gate.
Yeah.
And even if you gave us the whole $3 million, it isn't going to do it. Because it's biennial and that serves $1.5 million a year. I'm sorry, it doesn't pencil. It doesn't pencil. But so he was back onto it. He's okay. He says, let me help you with this thing.
Good.
So we're.
That's great progress.
I think we're going to. And I think our question is going to be compelling, or?
Yes.
Advisory from
pressure, yeah, hopefully it will be. Public health state of emergency with the consistent hazard levels of health, unhealthy and such. I think that there's important, you know, asking the questions part of it, but having that on the record of explore
there's,
that with Weber.
There's definitely, I mean, even
codifying
the,
all of the elements, you know, in a resolution.
What's the Oregon Life paper? Oregonian. They put out a story this week about the air quality and the long-term effects,
yeah,
and that, I mean, essentially, how many people got cancer after 9/11? What they're saying is that our community's long-term exposure to the smoke potentially could have long-term
effects. Out of control. When you're driving down I-5 and you're coming over the hill and you just get hit with it,
yeah,
maybe more so in my car because I don't have AC and I got to have the windows down, but it's intense.
Drive to Selma. I mean, you've been out to your mom's place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally snowing ash.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you're 10 miles from it.
I have to turn on the recirculation so the cabin is just in my
just
truck.
Right? Yeah.
Just so that it just recirculates air in the thing. So
no, my car, I parked, I got early. I was at the meeting about 45 minutes early last night. And
you got in the wrong car because it didn't look like yours when you left? It's
exactly. It was like, I had a green Prius and now I don't. But it was so covered and stuff that
it's
just
crazy.
But they
consider.
Had an unhealthy level of air today when we didn't. This isn't actually unhealthy, even though you can't see the hills barely. It's more so in Cape Junction today. Or, I mean, Selma had a very unhealthy level today.
Depends on which way
the
wind blowing.
Well, for sensitive populations, this can still be pretty bad. I mean, my eyes were watering, and it doesn't really bother me that much. But anyway, something to look into.
I will ask Mike.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, anything else today?
So just as an update, I reached out yesterday and had a meeting with Red Cross and Mike Weber and Sarah, just as far as what are we looking at for Selma. I'm kind of disappointed that you can't see on the fire map here, it cut it off where the fire activity is.
Is that one any better?
It's older, but I can show you where it's gone, pardon me. So the fire is all the way down to this pink line already and has actually gone over it. And there's a portion here that they're kind of at a last point. They're all the way up to here. So the $8 Mountain's kind of the next patch. We've asked them to put essential coverage on $8 Mountain because it's our microwave systems and radio communications for 911, Ivy Fire, Sheriff's Office, critical infrastructure is there. They know that they are working to protect that. Fiddler Mountain's the other one with Oregon State Police, and that potentially, if the fire is going here.
So is it spotting or is it actually?
No, it's filled in.
Filled in.
I can show you on the electronic map. But there's essentially a square right here and there. If they get to that last line, that's the next evacuation level to level 2. And there's a point right over here that if they get there, it's a little more so. They did ask
downtown Selma, isn't it?
They're past
no,
that.
It's going
it's
to Kirby.
Kind of moving south towards Kirby.
Kirby.
So
okay.
They asked for the level 1 to be extended to Finch Road today. I have not seen that extension be issued by the sheriff's office, but it is at $8 Mountain. They wanted to come down to Finch Road into Kirby, but the concern is if this goes over, it's going to go. And so if that happens and 199 is cut off, where do we evacuate people to?
Where's all our air support and where's all the planes and the helicopters and everything that we're here
so
all of a sudden
this
out
happens,
and out there?
We'll call in Rogue Valley Task Force that would come in and protect structures. And with them being issued, then we would call the conflagration from and get the state fire marshals. So structural firefighters from all over the state will come back to protect the homes. So I know it's frustrating, but they have to utilize the resources before they can get the state involved, and so that's the next step. But if we do get to those evacuation levels, here's the key. If we go to level 2, we open the animal shelter because people have to get their animals out before they're level 3 so that when it's time for them to go, they can just go. So if it's this week, yes, we would utilize Jackson County Fair. We're also trying to look at an alternate a couple miles south of Cape Junction that Mike was verifying if it's still available. But Red Cross won't go through a level 3 to get to an evacuation site in Cape Junction. And then we're asking people to go through a level three to get to an evacuation point in Grants Pass. So those are a couple things we're looking at. We've asked Public Works to make sure the back route around is clear. But we're looking at, we have both the Red Cross trailer and the animal trailer in CJ. So if we have to set up temporary shelters, we can. And we're also looking at options on this side of the hill because Red Cross does not have volunteers at the coast. So kind of, we had a meeting yesterday just to kind of be prepared for if that happens, that we at least make a plan for what's next, so.
Okay, one more quick thing before we go. Augustus and I met yesterday with Amanda and Ross Day. And we had a very good conversation and we asked, they were gonna get some stuff back to us. I thought it was productive, and I mean word of wisdom on that. It didn't go the way I expected it to go. It went better.
Nice.
It was a very, very pleasant, very productive conversation.
You bet. I think we made some really good ties. I was surprised. But we'll get back when we get some stuff. They have some stuff they need to get to us before we can really spring anything out.
We'll give you a fuller update next week. By then, we'll have heard back from Ross.
Yeah. Okay. All right. With that, we're adjourned at 3:07. Thank you very much.